is unfortunate.
What shall I do? Shall I stay here? I like to wander, that's the thing. I will stay a bit more planted. You picking me up from this one, is that right? Okay, we'll do that. Forgive me that I'm going to stand here behind the lectern. But it's lovely to be here. And God is at work in not only in this place, but in Crag and in Bramley, right across the whole church. And that's so exciting. And the call to discipleship and the call to disciple-making mission is so exciting. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus calls his first disciples, and they're there by the lake, simple fishermen. They are mending their nets. They're getting ready to go out and to fish. And Jesus comes along and says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately they respond. And so the call is clear, the response is immediate, and the effect is electrifying. And of course, Jesus still does this today. By the Holy Spirit, he calls you and me. He calls us to follow him, and he calls us to move out in disciple-making mission. And it's so exciting, it's so wonderful. And what we're going to do this morning is have a look again at Isaiah 43. I know that across the church we've considered this passage and the theme verse for the year, verse 19. But to look at this again, to reflect on our new purpose statement, passion for God, love for people, and heart for mission, and draw out some lessons for us as a church. And first of all, to reflect on this in terms of God's love for us. Spent a lot of time reading this wonderful chapter, and it's just struck me so powerfully how God is passionate for us, how God has a love for us and a real heart for us. He has come to us in his son Jesus. He is God on a mission. He has come and he's lived amongst us. He's died for us on the cross and he has risen again. And so we think about being passionate for God. We think about loving others and we think about a heart for mission that God wants us to have. But first of all, we need to reflect and we need to revel in God's amazing grace and love for us. Number of things here in these verses. I just sense that I'm on now and I can see stuff out here. Can you hear me okay? That is absolutely fantastic. We're up and running and that's very exciting. So God has a passion for us. We are saved by God. So it's just the next slide along. So passion for God, love for people, heart for mission. And God has saved us. And we see that so wonderfully in these verses. God reaches out to his people. Verse 19, our theme verse. We think perhaps about the new thing that God wants us to do here. But the primary application of that verse is the new thing of the gospel. And it's happened. Isaiah looks forward to the coming of Jesus, to this wonderful new thing that is going to take place. God coming to us in Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in the new old thing that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has saved us. See in the early verses, redemption and ransom, quite complicated sounding words, but actually it's a very simple concept. In Jesus, he has brought us back. He has taken away our sin and shame. On the cross, Jesus paid a great price for us so that we can go free. And notice that he knows us and calls us by name. That is so wonderful. He loves this church, he knows this church, and he knows us as individual disciples. Wherever you are along the way with God, he knows your name. He knows you better than you know yourself. And as someone has said, every drop of blood, every bead of sweat that fell from the cross had our names written on it. Individual. God loves you. He has saved you. If you know and love Jesus, if you trust in him, if you've turned your life over to him, he has saved you. God has a passion for you. And he sustains us on our daily journey with him. We come to him, we are saved, and then he sustains us and leads us forward. On the next slide, there is a picture that a number of you know that I've been reflecting on. Someone in the church gave this to me as a personal encouragement. And it reflects Peter being called out onto the water by Jesus. And then he looks at the wind and the waves and he begins to sink. And Jesus reaches down and grabs him. We think about these verses in Isaiah 43. Going through the waters, going through the fire and the flames, and yet knowing that God is with us. He loves us with this extraordinary love. He is present with us by the Holy Spirit. And as we go through fire and as we go through water, sometimes God reaches down and he pulls us out of that situation. But here in Isaiah 43, there is no sense that they are going to be taken out of this, but God will be with them as they go through it. God has a passion. God has a love. God has a heart for you and me. He saves us and he sustains us. And as I have thought and prayed, it's really at the heart of what I want to say this morning. I want to say a little bit about mission and vision and moving out. But first things first, we need to know that we are loved deeply by our God. Know that there are many of you who serve in so many ways across the life of the church and who serve sacrificially. Those who serve at Connect, for example, in the children's and young people's work. Those who serve at CRAG in the different ways that we have seen today. Those who serve here at Headingley, for example, in worship and in welcome. Those who are elders, those who are deacons, those who are part of the leadership teams across the life of the church. Everybody who is involved. It's so wonderful. And yet we can grow weary. And sometimes we just need that encouragement. Sometimes we just need to hear God's voice saying, you are saved and sustained. I have a passion for you. You are deeply, deeply loved. In our places of work, as we seek to serve our God there, in the situations that we face in our daily lives, sometimes the grief and the struggle and the confusion, those crossroads moments when we don't quite know which way to turn. God saves us and sustains us. I want to encourage you to hear and receive this message for yourself. God wants to say to you, I love you. I know you by name. If you're going through fire, if you're going through water, I am with you and I have a plan and a purpose for you. Just receive that now from the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Passion for God, love for people, heart for mission. God has that for us. And then he calls us to respond to him. And these verses speak also about that. The very final verse of our reading, where we ended. That passion for God, that call to proclaim his praise. God has called out a people for himself that they might declare my praise. Worship, as we know from passages like Romans 12, encompasses more than our sung worship. It encompasses more even than our prayers. It is life and the whole of life. We are to worship God with all that we have and all that we are. And yet there is something wonderful about declaring God's praises, about glorifying him with our hearts and our voices. And we are called to have that passion for God in worship. A couple of Sundays ago, Mark Hurst preached here in the evening at our breakthrough prayer meeting, and he is someone who has been really greatly used by God evangelistically. He has a tremendous heart for mission, involved in mission right across Sussex and elsewhere, and seeing many, many people turning to the Lord. But his message was, yes, we engage in mission. Yes, we're called to do that. Yes, that is absolutely vital. But we are worshippers first and workers second. We need to get first things first. And we need to be a church that worships God, that loves to worship God, that delights in his presence. Someone in the past said, worship is to kiss upwards. And we shouldn't be afraid of that language. We are called to declare the praises of our living God. Passion for God. And then love for people. The wonderful love that we are called to have for others. And it's great to be part of this church. It's great to be a part of what goes on our different sites. And we are called to deepen. Of course, that love is shared more widely right across our communities. But God calls us to love one another. And you get that sense in Isaiah 43 of God's people together loving one another, that God's people are on a journey, that this isn't something that is a collection of individuals who are thrown together. Real community, my people, says our God. And that's wonderful. And I just want to encourage you to deepen relationships one with another. We're having a quick small groups meeting after this service. And if you're not involved in a small group, I really want to encourage you to get stuck into one. If you're not involved in serving, that's actually a wonderful thing to do. And it's a wonderful way to deepen relationships with each other. Don't hang back from that. Get involved in loving one another. Passion for God, love for people, and heart for mission. Verse 10, you are my witnesses. And we see that that is repeated in Acts chapter 1 as we go on, and Jesus is there and he says, you will be my witnesses. You will go out and you will share the good news with others. Again, wonderfully, wonderfully exciting stuff. And I just want to encourage us to have this in our bloodstream, to be those who are passionate for God, to be those who love people, and to be those who have a heart for mission. Just for a few moments, I just want to pick out some of the things that have happened already in the life of our church as we move forward. And also just think about things that are going to be happening in the future. So we're on to the next slide now. So at the whole church meeting that was last month, we agreed together that we would just change our language a little bit in terms of what we call each other. So mission community to gathering. So we are one church, and that's absolutely brilliant. It's lovely to have this message of unity in the all-age talk. We want to be one church together. We are better together than we are apart. But obviously we work out of different sites. So one church, three sites, and many gatherings. And the opportunity just to expand a bit in the years that lie ahead. What is it that God is going to call us to be and do in the future? One church, three sites, and many gatherings. Going to, on a process of just simplifying our structures a bit in terms of leadership. And so the work that goes on here in Headingley will be united with one leadership team rather than two. South Parade together, now once a term in the morning instead of in the evening, because in the evening not many people were coming. It was great, we had some really encouraging times. But it's important for us to meet all together as God's church. But that third Sunday in the evening is going to be breakthrough prayer. As we have talked as an eldership, we know that prayer needs to be at the heart of all we do. If we are not a praying people, then there can be no expectancy that God will come and work. We have a prayer-answering God. And so everything that we are, everything that we do, has to be shot through by prayer. It's not that we are twisting God's arm. It's not that God needs us to pray. But we see in passage after passage in the scriptures that when we pray, God does great things. He delights to hear his people pray. And actually, I know that so many of you know this, not just from the scriptures, but from personal experience. You have known, as you have prayed, God responding. As we pray, I believe that God will respond to our prayers. I believe that God will work even more across our churches, across North Leeds. And again, it's wonderfully, wonderfully exciting. And so third Sunday of the month in the evening, a breakthrough prayer. We've set a budget which is challenging but realistic, and I want to encourage you to consider that and to consider your giving. And prioritizing disciple-making mission. This church here is so wonderful in terms of mission and the different things that happens over many years. And there's been real community transformation in so many ways. And yet, over recent years, there have not been so many baptisms. There's not been so many conversions. That's the reality of our life together. So exciting that there are three people who are beginning baptism classes at Crag. Again, here at Headingley, we hope to do something similar very soon. I know that God is stirring people's hearts and God is speaking into people's lives. But when we think about our city and when we think about this area, we recognize that there is a great need for people to commit to Christ. 0.85% of people in Yorkshire and the Humber go to church. And if we assume for a moment that they're all committed Christians, that they all love Jesus deeply, that is still a tiny, tiny figure. And when we put it together with passages like this one, which are so rich and speak about God's amazing love, how whether it's the north or the south, whether it's the east or the west, God wants his message to go out. The gospel is life and health and peace to all men and women, to people who don't yet know him. And the challenge is real, not just for us as a church, but for all churches to prioritize disciple-making mission. And we want to see more community transformation. We want to see more people touched with the love of God. We want to see more people opening up to the things of God. But we want to see people stepping over the line to real commitment to Jesus, to hearing this call to follow Jesus wherever he leads, and to step out on this adventure of faith, to know life now and life in the age to come, to know eternal security because they're followers of Jesus. I know this is on the hearts of so many of you, to move out in disciple-making mission, to have these baptismal services, to see people of all backgrounds, different heritage, different countries of origin, people who are rich and poor, people who are well-known in their communities and people who are not known, people coming to faith. God wants to use us to reach out in disciple-making mission. And so disciples who make disciples. And this is the vision. This is the theory, if you like. But what we need to do is really earth this in concrete, practical changes. And the very final slide just picks out one thing that we're aiming to do here in Headingley, which is to have a cafe running out of this site, and to be intentional in reaching out to the streets that are around. This is the year when we really tackle our staffing and we look together at a staff team at what we're doing. We recruit new members of staff to join with us to increase our capacity. But actually, we want to be enablers and equippers. We want to ask, who is the church's ministry team? And actually, I could take a photo, and no, you can't do this with data protection and everything like that, but just take a photo. Just imagine that I'm taking a photo, and we projected that up on the screen, and we had over the top of it the church's ministry team. It's you, and it's me. It's all of us together. The staff team, the elders, the deacons, the different leadership teams, every member, everybody who believes that the church that is South Parade Baptist Church is their spiritual home. Everybody here in Headingley, everybody at Connect, everybody in Crack. The opportunities that we have together are vast. I am more convinced than I have ever been that God is going to use this church, and exciting things are really going to break out in the years ahead. But we need to be in this together. The call to be united as God's people, doing the work that he has called us to do. A passion for God, a love for people, a heart for mission, expressed in real and concrete ways in the life of the church, in your life and in mine. Let's pause together, and then I will pray and we'll go straight into use that one. Okay, that's great. Let me just pray. Father, thank you for one another. Thank you for Isaiah 43. Thank you for the excitement and the joy of God coming and working and calling people, calling worshippers, calling people to be part of a loving community, calling people to be witnesses to the wonderful new thing of the gospel. Jesus died and risen and reigning and coming again. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We lift one another to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.